Welcome, everyone, to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley, a national news and talk program dedicated to military veterans issues. And now, your hosts, David Corey and Richard Hurley.
Good evening. Welcome to the Veterans News Hour for February the 18th, 2019. This is David Corey. Thanks for joining us this evening. Our usual co-host, Richard Hurley, is unable to be with us tonight. He's flying from Omaha, Nebraska, where it's freezing cold, back to sunny Florida. We wish Richard a safe journey back to Florida, and he'll be with us again next week on our show. So tonight I've got plenty of news and information of interest to veterans and their families. Before jumping into our show tonight, I'd like to acknowledge two great sponsors of our show, Joyce and Joe Chivaroli of Florida, whose financial contribution helps provide this weekly show for the benefit of veterans and their families across the country. I also like to remind everyone that this is a call-in show. It's your show. It welcomes your views, your comments, and your questions, so call us anytime during the show. We'll be on for the next 55 minutes. Grab your pen and paper. I'll give you the phone number. Our toll-free call-in number, nationwide number, is 1-888-627-6008. Again, toll-free call-in number, 1-888-627-6008. Have a lot of news and information, but tonight, kind of break up the news, I'm going to offer some audience participation questions where you can try to answer the questions and win a free copy of a book that we're promoting. Richard Hurley and I, among our thousands of projects, we are promoting a book called The Mighty Case Against War by author Kathy Beckwith of Oregon. It's a great book, and I'll be offering free copies to winners of our call-in questions tonight. But first, let me give you an overview of our show tonight. We have several news segments. First, we're going to discuss the VA's new appeals procedures for veterans' disability compensation claims. For those that have been following this in the VA, they know that this has been in the works for about 2 years now. And about a year and a half ago, Congress passed a major overhaul of the disability compensation appeal system. We're going to talk about that tonight because tomorrow, February the 19th, 2019, is the beginning of a new day, a new chapter in VA disability history because the law is going to officially and fully go into effect. So I'm going to talk about that. I'm also going to talk about tonight some employment programs, specifically in the state of Florida for veterans. Now, I know we've got listeners across the country, but I wanted to focus on Florida for a couple of reasons. We have a lot of listeners in Florida, and Florida is the third highest, is a state with the third highest number of veterans in the country, behind only California and Texas. And employment is a really big issue for veterans who are leaving active duty and returning to civilian life. And Richard Hurley and I both live and work in Florida. Excuse me. So we're very familiar with issues that, that involve Florida veterans particularly, but also employment issues. So I wanted to highlight some of the really outstanding resources that veterans in Florida can use to find jobs. And of course, veterans in other states will find that their states may have similar programs. These are programs in addition to what the VA offers. And they want to compare and see how Florida's programs compare to their states. Maybe get some ideas from that, hopefully. So that's the second segment. Then the third segment tonight, we have more news from the VA about two separate upcoming athletic programs for disabled veterans. The Wheelchair Games, which is an annual event, and also the Winter Sports Clinic. I'm going to talk about both, so keep your pen and paper handy to write down some information about both of those programs. So a lot of exciting news, but our first call-in question that I have for you, and this is part of the background. I'm going to talk about the disability compensation program in for veterans. Some gee whiz statistics here. Some of you may know that the veteran population in the United States is rather quite extensive. There's over 19 million veterans now in the United States. The largest percentage, about a third of those, were from the Vietnam era. So here's the first calling question of those, because it relates to the first topic, which is disabilities. Approximately how many veterans today receive disability compensation from the VA? That's the first question. You don't have to have the exact number, but get as close as you can to win an opportunity to win a copy, a free copy of Kathy Beckwith's great book called A Mighty Case Against War. Just call in. Our toll-free number is 1-888-627-6008. Again, the first question is how many veterans across the country are receiving VA disability compensation? Now, let me launch into that topic, because this is a topic of great interest to veterans and veteran representatives, veteran service officers, and certainly veteran families. It's an issue that's been in the works, as I said earlier, for a couple years. A little background about this. I've been representing veterans for about 2 decades, and I've seen how the system, particularly after the post-9/11 wars, the disability system in the VA got more and more backlogged with hundreds of thousands of disability claims. And what made it worse was that not only were they taking a long time to process the initial claims, but the VA had developed sort of a reputation of being really tough on some of these claims and denying claims, saying they really weren't service-connected, the disabilities weren't service-connected. Or another big problem was what we call low-balling the ratings. In other words, in the VA system, a disability is rated, depending on the disability, anywhere from 0 to 100. Some disabilities, it's not even possible to get to 100 because they're relatively minor in their disabling effect. But the VA had kind of a reputation of low-balling those ratings. So let's say a veteran was severely disabled by post-traumatic stress. Instead of giving the veteran 100%, they might give him 30%, which is a significant drop financially. So that was part of the background. The other part was that these cases were taking, once they went into the appeal system, they were taking literally years. It might take 2-3 years easily for the first step of the appeal system to function. So if your claim was denied or they gave you a low rating and you appealed it and you ask for a decision review officer, which is the next stage in which you get a hearing, you might be waiting literally 2 or 3 years. And if you're out of work and the VA has denied your disability compensation, it's pretty tough on you and your family, obviously. And after that first step of the appeal, if that decision review officer essentially just rubber stamped the denial, which unfortunately was often the case, it seemed, then you might easily have to wait another 3 or 4 years to get a hearing at the next stage, which was and is the Board of Veterans Appeals. So with that backdrop, with that history, you can see that the system was really broken. It had been broken for years. But the post-9/11 wars, the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, all the veterans returning, made things even worse in terms of the wait time. So a lot of veterans were unhappy about that, and there were many people calling, many veterans groups calling for Congress to reform that. So, long story short, a year and a half ago, in August of 2017, Congress passed a massive overhaul of the appeals process. The law was called the Appeals Improvement and Modernization Act of 2017. And Congress, realizing how bureaucracies work, told the VA, hey, look, VA, we know this is complex area procedurally and legally, and it's going to take some time to implement it. So we're going to give you a year and a half, VA, to implement this. And the VA did that with an interim program called the Rapid Appeals Modernization Program. Many veterans and their representatives know this as the RAMP program, Rapid Appeals Modernization Program, which has been functioning since about November of 2017. Well, the VA issued a press release just this past Friday, February the 15th, that said that the RAMP program, which was this interim program, this trial basis volunteer program, to sort of test how the new procedures would work. That new that was going to end. The RANT program has ended as of last Friday, the 15th, and effective tomorrow, February the 19th, this new system will be fully implemented, fully on track now, and we'll see. So any veterans whose claims, who have submitted claims and they haven't received a decision yet, effective tomorrow and after, when you get a decision, you're going to see that you're going to be given some new choices on how to appeal your decision. You might say, okay, well, so what? Why is this important? Well, again, the problem with the last system was that it was taking forever on appeal. So this new system is supposed to speed things up. It's supposed to make things simpler. It's also supposed to help the veterans preserve the earliest effective date. So if they file a claim and it's denied, if it's eventually granted on appeal, they should get paid back retroactively to when they file the claim. That's known as the effective date. Really important concept for veterans. So effective tomorrow, veterans who will be appealing a VA disability compensation case will have three choices. They can ask for a higher level review, which is a more experienced veteran VA employee. Number two, they could file a supplemental claim, which is adding new evidence. And the third choice is to appeal to the Board of Veterans Appeals. So the VA is offering these veterans now three choices. And the idea is hopefully that the claims process will be fair, timely, and accurate. Those of you that may have heard Richard Hurley and I discuss the proposals that date back almost 2 years ago before Congress enacted this law, that there were a lot of criticisms because we're very skeptical. The VA itself was the major drafter of these changes, and we were very skeptical about whether or not the VA in good faith was going to be looking at the claims truly fairly, as opposed to just, okay, we're going to speed the claims up, speed the appeals up, we're going to speed them up, you'll get a faster decision, but that doesn't mean it's going to be a good decision. You may be unhappy with it, and you're still left continuing to appeal it. So we'll see. In the press release that the VA sent out this past week, VA Secretary Robert Wilkie said, and I quote, VA has been preparing for full implementation of the Appeals Modernization Act over the past 18 months to ensure the new streamlined process is available to veterans who have long sought reform of the broken legacy system. He continued by saying, we encourage veterans who appeal is currently in the legacy system, that is the older system, to opt in to RANT before February 15th to take full advantage of the benefits of the new process. Well, the February 15th deadline, I will add, is now past us, obviously, so it's too late for any veterans to opt in to the trial program. But what the VA has said, that any veterans whose cases are still functioning under the old rules, that once they get a decision, they will be given a choice, if they want to continue appeal, to use the new choices that they have under this appeal modernization program. So tomorrow begins a new chapter, a new day in the VA world for veterans that are concerned about disability compensation. And it's affecting literally millions of veterans. Actually, I had asked you before, how many veterans are receiving VA disability compensation? Well, as of the end of last fiscal year, which was September the 30th of 2018, the total number was 4,740,000 veterans are receiving some form of VA disability compensation system, compensation. And, that's pretty significant. And the numbers have been remarkable, as I say, since the post 9/11 war. Here's another question. If any of you want to tackle this, again, our toll-free call-in number is 1-888-627-6008. That's 1-888-627-6008. Here's a question for you. How many veterans are compensated for post-traumatic stress disorder? We've talked on this show countless programs about veterans that are suffering psychologically from the effects of military service, especially combat. That's often referred to post-traumatic stress disorder. So here's the question. If any of you want to tackle it, call in. You'll win a free copy of Kathy Beckwith's book, A Mighty Case Against War. How many veterans are currently compensated by the VA for post-traumatic stress disorder? While you quickly research that, let me go on with news more about the appeals modernization program, because it's a major change. As I said earlier, under the old system, if you were appealing a decision, you might be waiting 2 or 3 years of the first stage, 3 or 4 years of the stage after that. And if you then appealed into a third stage, which is the U.S. courts, the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims, that case itself might take another year or two and only result in a remand sending the case back to the VA. So now under this new system, veterans can choose one of three different lanes to look at, to consider their appeal. And each of those lanes obviously has its own, their own requirements and their own rules. So it's important to look at each one of those and see what the VA is planning on doing. So let's say that you file a claim, and you have, a veteran has a number of disabilities, physical and psychological, and the claim is denied or they've been issued a low rating. What can you do under this new system? One of your choices is to file a supplemental claim, which means that you now are gathering, either yourself or with the help of a representative, new evidence, new and relevant evidence to support your claim. And the VA will review any of that new evidence, but it has to be new and material and relevant that they haven't already considered, obviously. You just simply can't submit the same information and expect the VA to have a different outcome. The VA will have its existing duty to assist in gathering new and relevant evidence to support the claim. So, for instance, if you say that you know, there's more evidence that the VA didn't consider in the VA medical records or private records, the VA can assist by trying to get those records. That's one example. And the VA's goal here, as I said earlier, one of the problems with the existing program was that it was so darn slow. Well, the VA's goal is that if you file for a supplemental claim, that they will decide those within 125 days on average. So we'll see if they're able to keep that time standard. The second option you have is a higher level review lane, and that's a entirely new review, basically from a fresh perspective, by a more experienced claims adjudicator. And that adjudicator may be located at some other regional office around the country. What the VA has been doing has been distributing cases among different regional offices, because some offices, such as the one in St. Petersburg, Florida, because of the large number of veterans in Florida, has been inundated. So they've tried to even the workload nationwide. But under this higher level review lane, basically what will happen is that the higher level reviewer will review the evidence that is already in the file. In other words, they do not give you an option to submit new evidence, which is a very remarkable change from the old system with what were called the decision review officers, where not only could you submit new evidence, new medical opinions, new medical records, statements from the veteran or family members or friends, but you could also have a hearing, a personal hearing. These were informal hearings in a conference room type of setting, but they were often useful, particularly in more complicated cases where perhaps the experts were disagreeing. That doesn't exist any longer. That the option to submit new evidence, if you're seeking a higher level review lane, you can't submit new evidence. In other words, the higher level reviewer will simply look at the evidence that's already in existence. There's no duty to assist on the part of the VA to get more information, although the VA has said that if the reviewer does discover an error in the VA's earlier duty to assist, they can return the decision for correction. There's no duty to hear. There's no duty on the part of the VA to give you a hearing, but the veteran or the veteran's representative can request an optional one-time informal telephone conference with the higher level reviewer to discuss the case, basically. And under the interim program, this Rapid Appeals Modernization Program, both Richard and Hurley and I had a number of these informal telephone conferences with reviewers that were at regional offices around the country, and had kind of mixed results with those, because again, the key is, if you've chosen the higher level review lane, you can't submit any new evidence at that point. You have to be very confident that the errors that the VA made are obvious and that you can prevail without needing to submit any more evidence. So that's where, when you're appealing, you really need to analyze the situation before you make one of your choices. Now, there's a third choice. Let's say that you don't want to submit a supplemental claim and you don't want a higher level review. Then you can appeal directly to the Board of Veterans Appeals, which is in Washington. And that's comprised of veteran law judges who are all experienced attorneys who've been designated as veteran law judges. And from my experience, the Board of Veteran Appeals, or BVA judges, in the past, they tend to be far, far more thorough in their decision making than the decision review officers, or what we will now see with the quote higher level review lane under the new law. These judges tend to be far more thorough than the decision review officers, and so you tended to get a better quality decision. Doesn't mean you always win, but there was a good chance that you'd get a fair, more thorough review and either an outright win or at least a remand where the Board of Veterans Appeals would send the case back for corrective action, which again is a step in the right direction. But now under this new law, if you choose, say, I don't want to file a supplemental claim, I don't want a higher level review, I want the third choice, which is appeal to the Board of Veterans Appeals, you still, from there, you have three more options. So I know listeners, this may sound complicated, but the good news is this. If you've got a claim filed and they've made a decision, they're going to explain all this to you in written materials. So they'll lay these out for you. And already on the VA website, they've got flyers, pamphlets, etc. that talk about these options. But the Board of Veterans Appeal lane, which is the third option, you have three choices. You could have a direct review if you don't want to submit additional evidence and you don't want a hearing. The second choice is you can submit additional evidence without a hearing. And then the third is, if you have new evidence and you want to have a hearing with one of the veteran law judges, then you can do that. Of course, common sense tells you you're going to be waiting the longest for that last choice. But if you request a hearing, you will be scheduled for a board hearing, and then you should have the opportunity at the hearing to submit evidence, which can be written evidence, it can be testimony, it can be both. And also, up to 90 days after the hearing, you should be able to submit any additional evidence. So if during the hearing it became apparent from your discussions with the judge that another medical opinion was necessary, you'd have 90 days after to try to get a private medical opinion. So those are the three choices that veterans are going to see under this this massive overhaul, which now fully goes into effect tomorrow. I don't think we can overstate the importance of the change of this, because the prior system was in effect for literally decades. And as I said earlier, things were getting worse and worse for veterans as far as what they felt, the quality of decisions and the very long waiting time. So Congress finally acted. My point being, since it took so long for Congress to act, we cannot expect another major overhaul anytime soon. Congress is going to say, let's give the VA a few years at least to see how this new program is working, and see whether it's accomplishing what it's supposed to do, which is to speed things up and also to have better decision making. We'll see what happens. But if anyone wants to share their experiences, including under the interim program, the Rapid Appeals Modernization Program, give us a call, 1-888-627-6008. Again, our toll-free call-in number is 1-888-627-6008. Let's go on to our second segment tonight. A big issue that we see, Richard Hurley and I see all the time in our law practice in Florida, is that of veteran employment. So many veterans come back from the military. They're separating from military service, sometimes after just a few years of service, sometimes after many years of service. And they're making what is sometimes a very tough transition, because the military is kind of its own world, as veterans know. And making the transition into the civilian workforce is sometimes a lot tougher than you might think it would be. So that's why veteran employment is such a big issue. Now, the good news is, and it really is quite an impressive thing, is that there is an awesome amount of information and resources and organizations that are already out there to help veterans. So it's really just a matter of going online to any of these websites, and I'm going to offer some of them for you tonight. Make a phone call. Talk to veteran service officers at many of these veteran organizations, like the American Legion, Veterans of Foreign Wars, Disabled American Veterans, and certainly the VA itself. But even more important than that, and that's what I said in the introduction tonight, I want to highlight what the state of Florida is doing, because Florida has a large veteran population. It's the third largest state in the country, and a lot of people are moving to Florida, and that certainly includes veterans. Florida has quite a few military installations, and so many veterans, when they're on active duty and they're serving in Florida, and they realize, hey, it's a nice place to live, and it's a relatively low tax state. Cost of living is a lot less than it is in some states. And so there's a lot that attracts people to move to Florida. And as a result, the veterans are often looking for employment, and good employment, you know, whether it's high tech industries or starting their own business. And here's the good news. So this is what I want to highlight in the second segment of our show tonight, which are veteran job programs in the state of Florida. Now, there is an organization called Veterans Florida. Can't be any easier than that to remember. It's a nonprofit organization created by the state legislature, which helps veterans who are settling in Florida to find employment. And they provide information on state benefits, help network and connect to jobs, job training, college, university programs, etc. And there's quite a few free tools and other resources, and that's the good thing. So if you're thinking, oh, this is going to cost me something, no, don't assume that. Check out a few of the websites here. Let me give those to you. So if you still have your pen and paper, jot these down. If you're in Florida, or you know a veteran who is in Florida already or moving to Florida and looking for employment. The first of the website is veteransflorida.org. That's veterans with an S, plural. veteransflorida.org. And the other website is floridavets.org, which is the website from the Florida Department of Veterans Affairs. You know, many veterans, they know of the VA. When they hear the VA, they know that it's the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. Years ago, it was called the Veterans Administration, but when it became a cabinet-level office, they kept the letters VA, but now it's called the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, as it has been now for a number of decades. But most veterans, when they hear the VA, they're thinking of the federal VA. But what they need to know is every state has its own state agency, and they provide some benefits, but they also provide other resources. And in the state of Florida, one of those is helping veterans find employment. So check out the website floridavets.org and also veteransflorida.org. floridavets.org is the Florida Department of Veterans Affairs website, and then the nonprofit organization called Veterans Florida is at the website veteransflorida.org. So these are really useful websites. I cannot emphasize those enough. What I sometimes encounter, and Richard Hurley can tell, when he's on the show, he's shared many stories of veterans that he's met in his work representing veterans, some of whom are homeless, and some of them are living out in the woods, they're living under bridges, they're living on the streets. And, you know, not only are they homeless, but they're unemployed, they don't have transportation even to go look for a job, they've got issues that kind of keep them from being employed. But there are a lot of resources to help them to get off the street, and certainly these organizations like FloridaVets.org and VeteransFlorida.org are other resources that they can turn to, because their mission basically is to help veterans. They want to be a gateway to getting veterans trained to get civilian jobs and also to maximize their employment opportunities. They've got career service programs to kind of connect or network veteran with employers. So it works both ways. Even if you're not a veteran or you don't know any veterans, but you're an employer in the state of Florida, and this applies in other states as well. Every state has their own kind of corresponding program. But you can connect through these organizations and their websites to advertise jobs and job training programs. And in some cases, the good news for employers is, in the state of Florida, for instance, if you meet certain requirements, you may actually receive grant funds to hire and train veterans. In other words, there's a financial incentive for you to hire veterans. It couldn't really be any better than that. And then, because moving to Florida, you know, typically requires finding a place to live, these organizations also work with and network with realtors and lenders who have a lot of experience helping servicemen and women relocate to Florida. And of course, one of the popular VA benefits is the home loan program. So that's another incentive and benefit that the veterans need to be aware of. In the state of Florida, and this is a program I wanted to highlight, they've got an entrepreneurship program. So let's say a veteran says, well, I want to start my own business. I've always wanted to do this. I've always wanted to have a bakery, for instance, or I always wanted to start my own barbecue restaurant or my own whatever. And I've got a great idea. I think I'm pretty good at it, but I just need some help in knowing how to launch and operate a company on a day-to-day basis. Well, the good news is the Veterans Florida Entrepreneurship Program, and again, the website is veteransflorida.org, provides training programs to help veterans do exactly that. So again, the resources are out there. Veterans just need to take advantage of that. You know, many people, when they hear of Florida, they think of tourism. That's a big industry, obviously, in Florida, along all the coasts, for instance, but certainly the central part of Florida with Disney World and all the other entertainment places. Tourism is a big industry, but what may surprise people that don't live in Florida is agriculture is a huge industry in the state of Florida. It's the second largest economic sector in the state of Florida. It supports nearly 2 million jobs, generating nearly $120 billion in economic impact. Well, veterans that might be interested in working in the agricultural field, veteransflorida.org has a program to help veterans make that transition from their military life. Because you might be thinking, military? How many farmers are in the military? They're going to need some training, right, to transition from a military job to agriculture. Maybe they came from a family that was in agriculture, so they have some prior interest. Yeah, maybe some prior knowledge and expertise. But they've been in the military for a few years. They need some help. Maybe an internship might be a good idea. Well, veteransflorida.org has exactly that. They've got the Florida Veterans Agriculture Program. It's a 9-month internship. It's to help veterans that are transitioning into careers in the agriculture industry in the state of Florida. The internship is pretty comprehensive. As I say, it's 9 months, and you get paid while you're participating in it. The first 6 months take place at the University of Florida Institute of Food and Agricultural Services. I'm sorry, the Agricultural Sciences Research and Educational Center. And they've got facilities located across the state of Florida. The University of Florida's Institute is a pioneer in research for food safety and transportation, pesticide alternatives, and even biofuels. I'm a graduate of the University of Florida's law school, but I know the University of Florida, their agriculture program is really impressive, as it ought to be, because it's the flagship university in Florida, and agriculture is such a big, big industry in the state. If you know a veteran that's in the state of Florida and they want to look into their options of getting into the agriculture industry, check out this Veterans Florida Agricultural Program. You can find out more information on veteransflorida.org veteransnewshour.com/agriculture. It's, like I say, it's a 9-week paid intern, 9-month paid internship. First 6 months are at one of the University of Florida education centers around the state. In the final 3 months of the program, participants will be matched with a local agribusiness on a working farm or ranch. They'll work 40 hours a week, and it's a good thing. And they try to obviously help place you in a job at the end of the internship. That's a big part of it. They run two classes, two internships every year. Next application deadline is March the 31st for the program that runs from April 1st to September 30th. And then the next deadline will be September 30th for the program that runs October 1st to March 31st. So again, check that out. It's just another interesting program. And as I say, in the past couple years, I've done some kind of informal comparison, not a scientific study, but just comparison of other states and their programs for veterans. And every state has their own. Some are more elaborate. But with the state of Florida having the third highest number of vets in the country, and it's the third largest state in population, you would expect, and the good news is, there's a lot of resources for veterans in Florida to find employment. Another resource that's important in the state of Florida, the state has an online jobs portal to provide employment services to people, not just veterans. It's employflorida.com, but it does have a particular portal, jobs portal, for veterans. They're trying to match people, service members, to jobs and training opportunities that suit the skills and experience they already have from the military. And of course, if they want something completely different, a completely different career change, then they can help them get the training education. But you can check out the website, veteran.employflorida.com. That's veteran.employflorida.com. And they have a toll-free number. And this program is called Employ Florida Vets. The toll-free number is 1-866-352-2345. That's Employ Florida Vets at 866-352-2345. Really impressed me how many programs there are out there. So veterans that are unemployed, tough making a transition from military life, there are many resources, just a matter of knowing about them. So that's why I wanted to highlight them on the second segment of our program tonight. Now, another job field, which is very significant in the state of Florida, as in most states, and continuing to grow, is the healthcare field. And like many states, Florida is, has a shortage of doctors, nurses, and others in the medical field. And that's certainly true in the VA health system itself. But what the state of Florida has tried to do to help veterans and veteran spouses in finding employment in health-related fields is they've offered expedited healthcare practitioner licensures through a particular program. Because keep in mind that many of these practitioners require state licenses, and maybe they had a license in a different state, and now they're moving to Florida either because they're being stationed in Florida, they're still on active duty, or they're retiring. Well, the good news is that the Florida Department of Health has this program in place to try to help veterans and their families to find employment in health fields in the state of Florida, but also to kind of expedite the licensing requirements, and also in some cases to waive the fees for veterans and their spouses who are applying for health care licensing in the state of Florida. They also assist county health departments in recruiting military veterans and their spouses to work in the health field. So check that out. And some of those opportunities are on the website, peoplefirst.myflorida.com. That's website is peoplefirst.myflorida.com. And the Florida Department of Health is a good point of contact. They also have a program that's trying to help veterans or those in the service before they leave active duty while they're making plans. So if you know someone that's in the armed services and they're in Florida or they're planning on moving to Florida and they're planning on leaving within the next 5 years, even looking ahead that far. Start planning and check out the opportunities. Again, the website is peoplefirst.myflorida.com. And they also have a number. This isn't toll-free, but it's a number. It's area code 850-488-0595. That's 850-488-0595. And also check out the website floridahealth.gov. And look under the section for licensing and regulations. They've got a section for those in the armed forces. So it's a great program. So kind of recap, Florida has programs for all veterans, but special programs, job placements for agriculture, health care. And then the last one I want to emphasize before I go to our last segment tonight is teaching, because Florida, like many states, is always looking for good teachers. So they've got a program called Troops to Teachers. It's actually a Department of Defense program. It provides career transition assistance services to current and former military members who want a second career in public school teaching. So you can register online, get more information. There's no obligation for registering. And the website is proudtoserveagain.com. And that's the Troops to Teachers program. Website, proudtoserveagain.com, proudtoserveagain.com. Troops to Teachers, their office in Florida is in Pensacola, which is over in the western panhandle part of Florida, and they've got a toll-free number. If your pen hasn't run out of ink yet, grab another. Here it is. It's 1-800-231-6242. That's Troops to Teachers in the state of Florida. It's 1-800-231-6242. So a lot of opportunities. If I've been talking too fast, you didn't catch all these websites, shoot me an email. I'll be happy to send you a lot of information. My email address is lawcorey1@verizon.net. That's lawcorey1@verizon.net, L-A-W-C-O-R-Y, the numeral 1@verizon.net. Send me an email. And if you forget that, go to our show website, bbsradio.com/theveteransnewshour. And you can see our phone number and email address for both Richard Hurley and myself. So, again, good news is a lot of veteran job training and employment placement opportunities in the state of Florida. Let me move on to the third segment of our show tonight, since the hour is going by pretty quickly here. And that's news of interest to veterans, two important programs. The first is the 2019 National Veterans Wheelchair Games. This year it'll be held July 11th to the 16th in Louisville, Kentucky. And registration is now underway. It's online. You can register online all the way through April the 15th, tax day. The VA announced that it's hosting the program again this year, and along with the Paralyzed Veterans of America. You can go to the website wheelchairgames.org to find out more information and to register online. Wheelchairgames.org. It's, the event is the National Veterans Wheelchair Games, July the 11th to the 16th in the great city of Louisville, Kentucky. It'll actually be at the Robley Rex VA Medical Center there in Louisville. It's an event that includes sports and rehab competition. Specifically, as the name would tell you, veterans who are using wheelchairs due to spinal cord injuries, amputations, or other neurological conditions. And it's great. We all know that sports and recreation are really great for people's mental and physical health. And certainly people that are in wheelchairs, they have enough challenges. So to provide this event that kind of highlights the role of sports and recreation and having a good time is really important. So if you're interested or you know a veteran that might be interested, the National Veterans Wheelchair Games, July the 11th and 16th in Louisville, Kentucky. And if you're interested in, you know, I'm talking about this on the radio, but if you're interested more in a visual about it, go to a YouTube and search for the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs videos. They've got hundreds of videos on there, but they do have videos from last year's wheelchair games. You can check out some of the, because they got all sorts of neat sports, from what you would, you know, basketball, wheelchair basketball, bowling, archery, field events, hand cycling, power soccer, rugby, softball, table tennis, track, swimming, etc. It just goes on. And athletes, don't be intimidated by the fact that you may not feel like you're at a competitive level. Athletes are compete against others with similar athletic ability, competitive experience, and age. So again, website is wheelchairgames.org. Now, the other big event I want to tell you about is actually happening a lot sooner than that, and it's happening March 31st to April 5th. That's the National Disabled Veterans Winter Sports Clinic. For those of you that like winter sports, skiing, rock climbing, sled hockey, etc., the winter sports, they've got the National Disabled Winter Sports Clinic, March 31st to April the 5th, this year, 2019, in Snowmass, Colorado. As someone that lives in Florida, I'm not even interested in going to a place called Snowmass, but that's where it is, Snowmass, Colorado. The website, if you're interested, is wintersportsclinic.org. It's a big event. Again, YouTube has the VA's video from last year's event. A lot of neat stuff for veterans to do. Get them outside. They enjoyed winter sports. Last year, they had about 390 veterans participate in the event. But if you're interested, you need to find out more about it and how to get there and et cetera, check out wintersportsclinic.org. It's another exciting VA-sponsored and DAV-sponsored event. Okay, so I want to move on to our final closing segment tonight. It's something we've talked about, Rich Hurley and I talk about every single week, because we think it's that important. It's a good reminder. We've represented many, many veterans in our work, and we found that some really have a tough time making that transition. And the stories that we hear, because in representing veterans on the disability claims, we get to know the veterans, and they tell us, you know, what they experienced. And the ones that had really traumatic experiences, particularly in combat, you get a better appreciation why it's so tough for these young folks, and most of them are still very young, to transition from a world where death and destruction and chaos and unpredictability was all around them, and now they're back home, and it's a different world again. The VA has this program called Coaching into Care, and this is a program that families need to know about, and friends of veterans, not just the veterans, but family and friends. It's called Coaching into Care because it helps family and friends coach the veteran into getting the care that he or she needs. So we know that returning home can be tough, and that's where loved ones can help. So the Coaching into Care program, it's a VA program. It's free coaching to help you help your veteran friend or family member. So give the program a call. It's toll-free. Grab your pen and paper. It's 1-888-823-7458. That's the VA Coaching into Care program. It's toll-free number, 1-888-823-7458. Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So they do have a 12-hour window Monday through Friday Eastern Time. But it is a very important program. But there's another program in addition to that, which is 24/7. And this is a real serious note because, you know, the number of veterans that commit suicide every day has been estimated to be in the range of 20 to 22 a day. It's a serious problem. And, it's a problem even for those that are still on active duty. When you think about it for a second, what does the military involve? It involves typically 18, 19-year-old young people who were raised, you know, to treat people kindly and don't hurt other people, and they're trained to be essentially, particularly those in career fields like infantry, that they're trained to be trained killers. And mentally, you really have to think about that, wrap your head around what that really involves. And then they're sent off to war, and they're involved in horrific things, and they come back, and they don't fit in too well. That transition's tough, and suicide is a serious risk for many of these veterans. A year or so ago, we had on our show the mother of a veteran who died because of suicide of VA was poorly treating his post-traumatic stress. And she started a foundation to really help other veterans, Winkler's Wish Foundation. Rebecca Winkler is her name. And you can listen to our archive podcast of her show on our website, bbsradio.com/the Veterans News Hour. But I want to bring back to the point that veteran suicide is a serious and big problem, and the VA has a crisis line. They've expanded the number of people that are staffing this crisis line so that there aren't problems as actually happened in the past sometimes, which is the numbers were rolling into, voicemail even. It's pretty ridiculous. But here's the toll-free call-in number for the Veterans Crisis Line. It's 1-800-273-8255, which is the national crisis line, suicide prevention line. That's not just for veterans. But the veterans line is, you dial that number, 1-800-273-8255, and then you press 1, because that's the veterans crisis line. And that's important, because veterans are really a lot more comfortable talking to other veterans who can relate to what they've been through. That's a really big point. So many veterans have committed suicide, as I say, tragically, because they didn't get the help they needed. Please help them get the care they need to cope with their problems. The Veterans Crisis Line can do that. It's 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. So a lot of news tonight. I've done a lot of chatting here for you. I hope you found the news of interest. If you have more questions, you can always send me an email. My email's on the show website, but I'll give it to you again. It's lawcorey1@verizon.net. That's lawcorey1@verizon.net. LAWCORY, the number 1@verizon.net. I'll be happy to answer your questions. Our show tonight should be up on our, as a recorded archive podcast within a few days. You can listen to it and get down all these numbers that I gave out tonight. A lot of good resources. And even if you are in the state of Florida, the message is every state has its own set of programs which supplement what the federal VA is doing. The federal VA doesn't have, although it has a lot of resources, it can't do everything. So state organizations and certainly volunteer groups play a big role. So I invite you to check those out. Well, it's about time for us to go for this evening. I'd like to thank all of you for listening here to the Veterans News Hour on BBS Radio Station 1. We'd like to again thank our sponsors, Joyce and Joe Chivaroli of the state of Florida, and Corey and Hurley Law Group of Florida. We'd also like to thank our great producer here at BBS Radio, Mr. Doug Newsom, for all the great work he does for us week in and week out. And we hope you'll all please tune in next week, same time, same station, for another edition of the Veterans News Hour. Until then, we hope you have a great week. Good night.
Thank you for listening to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley. We hope you found this week's program very informative. Be sure to invite your friends and all the veterans you know to tune in next week when we'll have another great show on veterans issues. Meanwhile, you can listen to our other recorded episodes on the Veterans News Hour webpage on bbsradio.com. Thanks again for listening to the Veterans News Hour.